big question in business, how are states attacking their budget crises?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Just hours ago, lawmakers in Illinois passed a huge income tax increase, raising those taxes by a third. And corporate taxes will also go up in the land of Lincoln. The state's operating with a $15 billion budget shortfall. Of course, Illinois isn't the only state facing a budget mess, though. Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale is with us live this morning. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
How bad are finances among the states?
Well, governors are warning that as many as 30 states are facing debts that are serious enough to risk default. One think tank here in D.C. estimates that the overall budget shortfall at the state level is around $140 billion this year. And cities, too, as many as 100 sizable cities face bankruptcy. Mm. And, you know, bankruptcy by a city or a state would have serious consequences for the entire economy, affecting confidence in the government's ability to honor contracts.
So is there anything Washington can do, John?
Well, the stimulus money for states is running out, and given how bad federal finances are, it's pretty clear that there can be no more bailouts. There are other reasons, too, for reluctance from Washington. For example, here's the response from the House Budget Committee Chairman, Paul Ryan.
Should taxpayers in Indiana who have paid their bills on time, who have done their job fiscally, be bailing out Californians who haven't? No, that's a moral hazard that we are not interested in creating.
So the message from Washington is one that's not followed much here. Either cut your spending or raise your taxes.
Mm. All right, John, thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale reporting from our Washington studio for us. You just heard Congressman Ryan single out California when talking about possible state bailouts. And no state has taken the ridicule and the criticism for its budget fiasco as much as the Golden State. Columnist Brett Ahrens from The Wall Street Journal says that's unfair and the ribbing should stop. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning.
So you say California isn't quite this pariah that a lot of people make it out to be, calling predictions of its default is hogwash. What's your reasoning?
This is a myth that has gone around and has been repeated so many times now that everyone just believes it. But the reality is California's economy remains very successful.
Give us an example of your idea of success.
Per capita, real economic growth. You look at how much an economy has grown per person in real terms. And over the last 10 years, California has grown about 15%. The average for the U.S. is less than 9%. California has grown faster than most other states in the union.
So it's growing at a faster pace. But you can't hide, Brett, the fact that the state has this daunting budget deficit. I mean, some are saying as much as $25 billion. I mean, how do you account for that?
No question there are problems. I mean, no one's suggesting it's fine. My problem is with people who think that it's somehow a basket case, you know, that they're sort of doomed.
By doomed, you mean bailouts. There have been rumblings of a California bailout, right, since the housing market collapsed here and everywhere else. But in your column, you say it's just the opposite. How has California bailed out the rest of the country?
What happens in America is that essentially the high-income, high-productivity, and high-cost states pay much higher federal taxes than they get back in federal spending. California has probably transferred about $600 billion to the rest of America in the last quarter century. America has been an enormous beneficiary of the Californian economy. You know, if you want to use a European analogy, they are Germany, they are not Greece. They have been pouring money into the system. The idea that somehow this state is on welfare, that the rest of us are, quote, propping it up, is nonsense.
Brett Ahrens, columnist for The Wall Street Journal. Brett, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. The European and Asian shares are mostly higher today. Applications for home mortgages rose last week, according to a report today from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow added about 34 points to end the day at 11,671.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact Email Marketing, providing small businesses and nonprofits with personal coaches to help them succeed. ConstantContact.com. By Progressive Insurance, helping people shop for car insurance at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and Progressive.com. and by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud.
Walmart has tried for nearly 10 years to open stores in the nation's largest market, New York City. But fierce opposition from lawmakers and from unions has kept the world's biggest retailer out. So now Walmart's taken its message directly to New York City residents with a new online campaign. Reporter Janet Babin has that.
Walmart's new website says most New Yorkers it surveyed want to shop at a local Walmart. New York City Council has scheduled a hearing about the chain. Walmart was invited, but in a letter, it said it won't be coming. Council Speaker Christine Quinn says the retailer turned council down because it hasn't announced any plans to open in New York City. She calls the move disingenuous.
They say, why is the council having a hearing? We're not looking at any stores. But just this week, they launched a website to try to convince New Yorkers that Walmart would be good for them.
Walmart declined comment beyond its letter, which says its stores in other big cities are magnets for growth and business development. Faith Hope Consolo with real estate firm Prudential Douglas Elliman says landlords and real estate agents can't wait for Walmart's arrival.
They bring a strong signature. They bring a lot of advertising dollars, so they can fill a lot of holes.
With Target, Home Depot, and other big chains already open in the city, Consolo says it's getting harder to keep Walmart out. In New York, I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
And finally, Pamela Ivey can thank a Kentucky convenience store cashier for helping her take home a little more cash. Ivey won part of the Mega Millions lottery game. But when she bought the ticket, the store clerk accidentally added the multiplier feature. That doubled the cost of the ticket from $5 to $10, which Ivy paid. But it quadrupled the size of her winnings from $250,000 to $1 million. Minus taxes, of course. The clerk couldn't do anything about that. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles, online at marketplace.org. You can follow me on Twitter, Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
We're all used to tech-savvy upgrades for cars and phones and computers, so why, oh why, are we still lugging around plastic cards to pay for everything?
I'm sitting here uncomfortably in this interview with a big, chunky wallet in my pocket.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Wallets as a thing of the economic past. That and the numbers from Wall Street, today's business news as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.